we're now going to get you back to part two of Doug and Tammy's interview with economist Trey Canepa, right here on FM News Talk 97.1.
That's crazy.
Pretty interesting, right?
So now where are these investors, these Japanese investors, investing their money now? Because if they're in a market like that, they've got to be going outside of Japan.
Well, that's part of it. But by the same token, the Japanese investors have been very loyal about buying those bonds over time.
So they're buying their debt?
Yeah, and a lot of these Japanese government bond buyers don't even know they're buying them. They go deposit at the bank, and then the bank, by law, has to own them. You want to get really freaked out? Look at their financial statement and look at the interest component of their expenses. The Japanese government borrows money at zero, and half of their tax revenue goes just to interest. So let's apply this to the individual person.
Right.
I make $50,000 a year, but I spend $100,000, and of the $50,000 that I make, $25,000 of it just goes to interest on my credit card.
I think Doug deals with these people every day.
How in the world does that work? The Japanese government will restructure its debt, which is a very polite way of saying that they will default.
Right, they will eventually default.
They will default. However, let me explain how this is going to happen. The Bank of Japan is going to continue to monetize their debt. The Japanese government is going to print new yen in order to buy those bonds.
Okay.
So the Japanese government bonds may not collapse tomorrow. However, they're the only buyers of this debt is the Bank of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that the supply of yen is going up. So listeners, here you go. You want an actionable idea. There are many ways to be short the yen. You should explore all of them, even in a very small way. You've got some ETFs out there. The symbol's YCS is a double short yen ETF.
An ETF, exchange-traded fund.
Correct.
Okay.
You also have FX, a foreign exchange contract. Now, how am I executing it? I actually, when you're short a currency, you have to be short a currency against something. So I think the yen is going to drop versus whatever. Now, if you have shorted the yen versus the euro over the last 3 or 4 months, you have had a bad 3 or 4 months because the euro has been dropping faster than the yen.
Yeah.
Right, you have two lead balloons seeing which one's dropping fastest.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So the simple fact of the matter is that when you're short the yen, you have to be short against something. So it's key to pick what something you're going to be short against. Me personally, I love the idea of being short the yen versus a hard asset. So one of my trading ideas is actually a little bit harder to execute, and the other one is very easy to execute. I am long gold in yen, so I'm short the yen versus gold is my long leg. That way I don't have to pick the right currency. I don't have to pick the Swiss franc or the euro or dollars or whatever. So I'm long gold and yen. But the other trade I have on, and clearly I'm speaking to your audience because this is a real estate show, I own a rental property in Houston, Texas, and my mortgage is in yen. So I'm taking rent in dollars, but I'm paying my monthly payment in yen, which means as the yen devalues, it takes me less of my rental dollars to make my monthly payment. Now, my dad's mortgage banker who did this trade for me, he looked at me like I had two heads. He said, you want to do what? This is not an easy trade to execute, but if your listeners want to talk about it and explore it, I can show you how to do it. It's a little bit different. It requires some nuance. But for the individual investor, seek out ways to short the yen because, gee, I don't know. I would imagine that the supply of yen is going to continue to go up, up, and up because how could it not? There are no buyers for their debt. So they've got to print more yen, and the yen is going to get weaker and weaker as time goes by. There's just no two ways about it. So long gold, short yen, and I can also talk about, by the way, I own the website shortjapandebt.com. I write a newsletter that comes out a couple of times a month. I give specific trading ideas, things like that. And then I also talk about the reasons and the economics the macroeconomics behind why I'm doing what I'm doing.
So basically, so Japan is our crystal ball.
Well, and I love your website, shortjapandebt.com, mm-hmm. because you...
How's that for a subtle domain name, huh?
Yeah, very... shortjapandebt.com is your website. And in case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking with Trey Canepa, a hedge fund owner and manager. ShortJapanDebt.com is the best place to see your strategy. And I love the way you back up your strategy on your website, too. It's very, very good. And I think we should tell really quickly, when you talk about shorting something versus longing something, give a quick explanation for the listener that doesn't understand what that means in trading.
I think it's going down.
Right,
if I sell you something for $100 and I give you something, you give me the $100, even though I didn't actually own the something. But if I sold you something for $100 and bought it back for $50, then I've made a $50 profit. Shorting is, I think it's going down.
Right, you're betting that it's going to go
down.
I think
it's going up. That is the very nature of shorting. By the way, that's the only explanation I've been able to put together, because my mom asked me the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Trey, I don't understand. You said you made money by selling something. That means you bought it in the first place. And I said, no, that's not true. I borrowed it from somebody else, sold it to a third party, and then tried to buy it back at a lower price. That is what shorting means. It's obviously, it requires a little nuance, requires a little bit of study. It's not for every trader. It's not for every investor. It requires a little bit of sophistication. But when I say shorting the yen, right now the yen is at 120 to the dollar. I think the yen is going to 400 to 500 to the dollar. So if I bought a house and I did it at a yen conversion of 100, and then the yen goes to 400 to the dollar, that means that if I borrowed $100,000, I would actually retire that debt for $25,000 if the yen went from 100 to 400. Because the yen got weaker, it took me less dollars to pay that off. That is the nature of a short position. And at some point, you know, and your listeners ought to be aware, this happens to currencies all the time in countries that are having problems. The most recent one was Russia. Remember in December when oil prices cratered and the Russian ruble fell off the end of the table?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being aware of currencies, you know, it kind of serves a purpose of being aware of what's going on globally. And you cannot study currencies without studying government debt. And that's what I do, because I'm a complete nerd, even though I graduated second to last in my class.
All right. So, Trey, in the next 2 minutes, what I want you to do is walk us through really quickly what it means. So as these governments, the currency wars that are starting, because you get quantitative easing where the governments are all buying their own debt. The U.S. just finished a major cycle of QE1, QE2, QE3. Mm-hmm. They've drawn to a close of doing that, but the consequences of that and what happens around the world to counteract the U.S. doing that.
So currency wars, I have to give a shout out to my good friend Jim Rickards at this moment. There's a book called Currency Wars. Currency wars actually turn into real wars, as in with bullets. That has happened throughout history. And what happens is that a government makes mistakes. They make policy mistakes.
What?
And they're making policy mistakes because politicians exist for one reason. And if you are under the misimpression that a politician is there for the benefit of the electorate, you are sorely mistaken. Politicians exist to get themselves reelected and to provide themselves a source of revenue for after they're out of office.
Right.
That's it. That's what they're after. So what is the best way to do that? Spend government money. Mm-hmm. And now you have a whole series of economists that are telling you, oh, no, increasing government spending and increasing debt when you do it is actually good for the economy. Those economists would include Paul Krugman, Larry Summers, Shinzo Abe, the prime minister of Japan. The list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And it's absolute nonsense. So a politician spends. He doesn't want to cut spending. He borrows money to do it. But guess what? The central bank stands behind him. The central bank, our own bond market, should be plummeting. Why would you want to lend money with all the unfunded liabilities the United States has? But, oh, it's okay, because the Fed can come in, they can increase money supply, and they can fill that gap and buy those bonds. Mm-hmm. which means that the original origin of quantitative easing is actually political corruption. Undoubtedly. It makes me sick.
It's true.
It makes me sick just to talk about it.
Well, and that's not a far-fetched thing. And mm-hmm. and we do ask the question of why would, you know, why does the dollar stay strong? Okay.
Oh, no. Here we go. The dollar is not strong. The other currencies are just more weak.
Right.
I mean, this is the, you know, the group of ugly people in the room, and the U.S. dollar is the least ugly of the people in the room.
So Trey, when I was in engineering school, we had a saying that there were hardly any pretty women in engineering. And when we look around and somebody would say, oh, man, she's pretty, well, our question would always be, well, is she pretty or is she engineering pretty?
Exactly.
So is our currency, is our dollar strong, or is it just, is it strong relative to everything else, the cream of the crop?
It's engineering pretty.
Right. So people continue to invest in that. And, I think it's, where do you think this will lead long term for our country and for the rest of the world?
Well, you have to have, you need to own hard assets. I realize I'm speaking to your audience right now, but owning hard assets and not owning currencies is the way to go. So, heck, don't listen to me. Listen to Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's a pretty bright guy.
The owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know that the Dallas Mavericks has all of its debt in yen? So he's essentially made the same bet that I am. I put the debt on this rental house in yen. He put the debt of all the Dallas Mavericks in yen too.
Well, yeah,
so
to make sure we
want to borrow. Yeah, you want to borrow in weak currencies, and you want to be aware of that. But the point is that you want to own a hard asset, and when you have to borrow money, you'd ideally want to borrow money in currencies that are dropping and working their way lower. So I like the idea of owning hard assets. I like gold. I like real estate. Real estate's actually better because it can be an income-producing asset. Hence the trade that I made in the house down in Texas. It's an income-producing asset, but yet I've got the mortgage in yen.
Excellent. Well, Trey, really appreciate you taking the time out to call in. It's a beautiful Sunday, and I definitely appreciate you taking the time. Great information. And if you want to learn more about what Trey's talking about, visit shortjapandebt.com. And if you want to learn more about how to invest in those hard assets, especially in real estate, reach out to me, Doug Haldeman. You can text me or call me, 314-472-DOUG. And if you want to find out more information, we're going to have, make sure Trey's information is on our blog post at DougHaldeman.com. So DougHaldeman.com. Trey, thanks again for joining us today.
Anytime. I'd love to be back anytime you want to have me.
Very, very good. Thank you. So don't forget, just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you won't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.
Almost half of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no extra money when bad things happen. If you're involved in an accident and are suddenly faced with medical bills, loss of income, and more expenses, what can you do? The insurance company wants to settle and settle cheap. You need someone on your side. You can trust us to protect your rights. Remember the fours. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.